Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's Amir Fazeli here from Adonis Athletics, where the strong belong, and you're listening to another episode of Bars, Plates, and Protein Shakes. Today's episode is going to be a little bit longer than usual, probably, but I think, it's an important one, especially for those of you out there who compete, regardless of whether it's powerlifting, weightlifting, strongman, or even other sports. And especially if you're the type of person that places a lot of stress on yourself and finds it hard to deal with, obstacles along the way, finds it hard to deal with your own thoughts and mind as you are training, as you are trying to improve. This one is for those of you out there that sort of fit that kind of bill, fit that kind of description. It's very important, I think. It's something that I drew, that something came to my mind. On the weekend, we had a novice powerlifting competition at our Castle Hill branch, at Adonis Athletics Castle Hill, which went very well. I was a bit of a throwback for me. I haven't coached anybody in competition for a while. I've just been so busy with things, and our other coaches typically have taken over in coaching people in competition for the last few months. So it was nice for me to get back again under the coaching role and get everybody who was under me basically some PBs, and that really felt good. So in doing so, I was reminded of a couple of things that were very commonplace for lifters that I used to deal with, especially from time to time. You get those type of lifters that kind of in their own head and can be kind of their own worst enemy, right? I know I was, from time to time, especially for certain lifts, certain types of competitions. It's something that we face. Right, this is something that happens to everybody, especially in the earlier days of competition. It happens to everybody, and it's good that it happens, because it can be very effective and very powerful in teaching us how to deal with things for ourselves. But also, at some point, we will pass that knowledge on to other people that need it more than us. So I have a lifter that I was coaching on the weekend who I believe shows very great potential. I think this lifter can be national champion for sure. I think this lifter can compete on the world stage. And if this lifter puts his mind to it hard enough and long enough, he can also be world champion. But this lifter has a personality type, at least at this moment, or from when we first met, where everything is overanalyzed. And when I say overanalyzed, I mean super overanalyzed. Everything is broken down, everything is questioned, everything needs an explanation for himself, not from me necessarily, but an explanation of some sort for himself. And I'm sure a few of you listening to this right now are nodding your head, because you either know somebody like that or you are somebody like that. And let me tell you, this type of mentality can be very self-destructive in a competition scenario. Not even in a competition scenario, it doesn't even have to be that. Just in the scenario of trying to improve and get better, especially for something so simple, relatively simple as a sport as powerlifting. In my opinion, powerlifting is a very simple sport to train for and to improve on. I think there are much more complicated sports out there that, for example, require the training of multiple energy systems that can seriously complicate things and need very intricate programming and direction and you know, just thinking, sort of, and just application. I think powerlifting is very simple. I think it's probably the simplest of the strength sports to train for. It's just one thing, you know, you're just trying to improve your maximal strength, that's it. And when you have somebody who just constantly thinks about things and analyzes things, and alongside that produces and shows other personality characteristics and qualities that can be very self-limiting or even self-destructive, then you need to address that primarily. So, for example, somebody very tied into numbers, right? Somebody who is tied into numbers. Going into a competition, this person may think to themselves that these are the type of numbers that I want. I want PBs, you know? But those numbers, that wish, is not really based on anything very solid, right? So it's all well and good to aim for PBs and wish for PBs. But you also got to understand that your numbers in training, first of all, have to reflect PBs. They have to solidly reflect PBs. And when I say solidly, the reason why I say that is because this, and simply this. You can train all you want and however you want within a gym situation where things are fine, right? You just wake up at the time you wake up. You get to the gym at the time you want to get to the gym. Warm up how you like to warm up. Take this, the rest period between sets how you like to take them, however much you like to take them. You're in your favorite rack using your favorite bar, etc., etc., etc. When it comes time to competition, there is now other competitors, right, that you have to consider. There is now weight. You have to make weight, so you have to consider that. There is also somewhat of a disruption to your schedule because you have to warm up fast or faster than usual. You may be interrupted as you're going into your next set. Another competitor may want to jump in on the same weight as you and do a warm up. These things all play a factor, a role. If you're somebody also on top of that who's just naturally more nervous, more neurotic, you're going to be different. You're going to have to deal with those issues as you're warming up, as you're going out for your first squat. Your first squat might be shaky. You might miss it. You might have to redo that squat in your second squat until your nerves finally settle down. It's only when you get enough competition experience under your belt at regular enough intervals where you start to maybe not feel those feelings. So those feelings will always be there for a lot of people, probably for most people, but the ones who are really seasoned in the sport and have done a lot of competitions know how to deal with them really well. They know what to do when they feel nervous. They know what to do when they just finished weighing in and they feel depleted. That depletion, although they feel it, doesn't really, for example, shake them as much. It doesn't shake their confidence. They know that they've been there, they've done that before, and they can recover from it. They know how to recover from it, how they should eat and drink, what they should eat and drink to recover from that in time for the first squat, which is going to be maybe in 2 hours if you have the same day weigh-in like the IPF. So those things are going to make a difference to a lifter. It's going to make a huge difference, in fact, to the lifter. Being in a competition scenario is completely just another ball game for a lot of people. And it depends if you're naturally a more calmer person or you're naturally somebody who overthinks and gets caught up in things. So I think what you need to train yourself to do is take things as they come. Now, in this particular person's scenario and context, let me give you a little bit of a history and a little bit of a explanation of how this person came out the other end. So this person is somebody, so picture this, you've got somebody who has been dealing with a recurring chronic injury, hip pain, on a consistent basis, where squatting hurts all the time. In fact, it gets to a point where squatting to depth hurts so much that they have now conditioned a new movement pattern, a new motor pattern, where they do not like to squat to depth subconsciously. Subconsciously, their body sort of stops high, and it can cause them to miss depth on squats because the issue has been not addressed for so long, right? The issue has been kept unchecked for so long that every time they squat, every time they get past a certain weight, they become apprehensive subconsciously in being able to hit the depth on a particular weight onwards. So that's one thing. The other thing is they haven't really paid attention to making sure that they train the same way that they're going to be competing. So for example, training regularly on gym bars that aren't as stiff as competition bars, training regularly with bumper plates combined with the non-stiff bars, and that's going to make a huge impact on deadlift performance. If you think training your deadlift with bumper plates and a normal gym bar, or worse yet, say for example a Texas deadlift bar, if you think you're going to do your entire training block on an equipment like that, and then turn up to an IPF comp, for example, where they use stiff bars and Illico plates, if you think your deadlift is going to be the same on the day, my friends, you are going to be in for a very rude shock. That is going to be a realization of your worst deadlift nightmares. You must train the same way that you're going to compete. Now, the thing is, for this particular person, whether consciously or subconsciously, they tend to steer away from competition-like scenarios and steer towards using equipments or altering lifts where it will definitely make things easier. Now, that could be and is likely a subconscious thing. It could very likely be something that this person isn't truly conscious of, but they are doing it because, and only because, to save the ego. They don't want to face the fact that their lifts are going to be down in training compared to what they thought it would be or what they would like it to be. And so they steer towards using equipment or putting themselves in situations or scenarios using slightly different technique. For example, another example I can give you other than deadlifts is rushing the pause on a bench, or knowing that your butt is lifting off the bench but not being critical enough, self-critical enough, and honest enough and disciplined enough to check yourself. This is why a coach is very important in a scenario like this, for example. Not everybody can coach themselves, because not everybody can be... Somebody might be able to program for themselves, but oftentimes people will, for example, consistently miss depth on a squat and not be honest about it with themselves. Consistently lift their butt off the bench and not be honest about it themselves, and so on, right? And this was actually exactly the same things that were happening with this person, this particular person. There was this tendency, this pattern, where things would constantly get done that would be outside of what the competition would be like. And it's simply because of a lack of practice, I guess, or a lack of being checked previously. Lack of people being around this person to say to this person, "Hey, yo, man, you're basically cheating yourself. You're satisfying your ego in the short term right now, but you're going to be in for a world of ego pain later on when the time comes for competition. So another example is constantly using wrist straps for deadlifting when you have no grip issue, when your grip is not overtrained, when you basically have no reason to use straps, when everything is fine and you should be using your hands, your fingers, to train your deadlift so that you have no issues later, but you use straps. And here's the thing with straps, for example. What straps do is it ensures grip. And what that does is it allows you to pull more violently off the ground. It allows you to pull more forcefully off the ground. So it not only psychologically gives you a better deadlift, psychologically gives you a better psychological approach to the deadlift, which can give you a better deadlift, but also unknowingly, when you pull faster off the ground, you have slightly more momentum going in through your sticking points, and so you can get through the sticking points a little bit easier. So essentially, again, you're cheating yourself. Now, there are times where it is important and it can be useful to use straps for the deadlift. That's for another episode. But if you're somebody, for the most part speaking, if you're somebody whose deadlift is in the mid 200s, you pretty much almost never need to use a strap. I'll put it to you that way. You must train as much as you can under the same conditions and same rules and same equipment as competition if you want to have a smooth ride in through the competition and not be in for any rude shocks. This is very important. So these are the type of things, these are the type of person that I want to give you the context that you are dealing with. Somebody who is constantly being unfortunately set back with injuries, some to no fault of his own. Somebody who is at a point of constant frustration, but credit to him, he has been strong enough mentally to push past it and continue with it and endeavor to make it better, to find better ways and be persistent, which is not easy to do. And you know, there's a lot of you guys listening to this and girls listening to this, you would know what I'm talking about. It's not easy to do that. It's very hard. So going into a competition, his first competition in very long time, in a very, very long time, these type of personality traits and patterns were evident in this person. So that mixed with the fact that he is an overanalyzer, mixed with the fact that there was a history of injuries, and so confidence in lifts is way down, right? Mixed with the fact that there has been no regular competition for the past year and a half, even 2 years. It is of utmost importance to me as a coach in a situation like this to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to set a very solid platform, a groundwork from which this person can work and build some confidence. I do not care about getting all-time PBs in a first comp back for this particular person. This particular person may care immensely. In fact, I know for a fact that this person cares. This person went into this competition with the thought process of getting PBs. And coincidentally, mind you, a couple of the lifts were actually PBs. All his lifts, in fact, were either PBs or equal PBs compared to the last sort of mock competition that he did. But still, even with that, my number one priority was definitely 100% not to get PBs. My job as a coach is to build an athlete's confidence for the long term. Long term is the key word here. You want to be able to enable people, enable lifters, to understand and accept and build their psyche and mind to be able to believe in themselves that they are capable of doing something. When somebody's coming off the back of multiple injuries for a very long, very, very long time, their confidence is going to be way, way, way down. Now, if you gamble this person's attempts in competition and they miss, they go, for example, 6 out of 9 on lifts, or worse, 4 or 5 out of 9, you have done a terrible job as a coach. Their confidence is going to be likely shattered even more. And their desire to come back from that and to pursue things is not going to be high. In fact, this person admitted himself that his confidence did grow, but his initial reaction was that he wanted more. He wanted higher picks on third attempts. Now, I picked third attempts for this person based on, firstly, the speed and execution and dexterity of the second attempt. And the third attempt was tough in all cases, but there was still room left in the tank for the bench press, for the squat and the deadlift. There was room left in the tank in the squat and the deadlift. It was still a tough attempt. It was like a 9.5 RPE on both of them. On the squat, I would say it was borderline 10, but he was close to cutting depth like he always does, but he managed to stay disciplined, sunk it low enough, and got the white lights. So that was all good. Got all 3 from 3 squats. Now, this person's feedback after the competition was that he wished his third attempts were picked a little bit higher for squat and for deadlift. And of course, I can understand any lifter would want to lift more and more. It's a powerlifting competition, and especially this person in particular is the naturally competitive type of person, which is excellent. That's the type of athlete you want. But it had to be explained to him that going higher and getting, 7, 10, or even 12 more kilos on his total at the expense of possibly missing 2 lifts, like a third attempt squat and a third attempt deadlift, in my books is unacceptable. The number one priority was to get him back, get some momentum again after having such a big layoff, after having so many bad cards dealt his way for so long. It's just like a fighter. When a fighter's been on a multiple losing streak or has had an injury, is coming back, the first fight he gets is a tune-up fight. Something that's tough enough to challenge him, but something that he knows he can definitely win, or his coaches think is very likely that he will win. He will come out the victor in that. And that's got to be the same thing. Guys, it's not always about numbers. It's not always about PBs. You got to think long-term here. If you want to build a powerlifting career, I understand the winning mentality. I have it myself. You want to compete to win. I get it. And if you can win on a particular day, absolutely, you should go for it. You should go for the jugular, for sure. But it's not always about winning the competition at particular points in your competition career. If you've had a long layoff, for example, if you've had injuries, if you had frustrations, if you've had setbacks, you need to show yourself, you need to show your mentality, your psyche, that you can come back from it, that you can do better. You got to build a platform for yourself to be able to launch from again. And from there, you build a monster, you build a giant. I hope this makes sense for a lot of you guys out there listening to this. I can understand the mental struggle between winning, and progressing, and all these sort of battles in your mind. But at the end of the day, a lifter who has no confidence in himself is his or her own worst enemy. Your opponents don't even have to try and beat you. You've already beaten yourself. You need to first develop your confidence in your capabilities and abilities to do things. You need to get momentum going. That's very important as a coach. You need to understand where this comes in and where you need to do this and apply this. And make sure the lifter understands this as well. It can be frustrating often for the coach and for the athlete. But it's just a necessity. It's a part of the process, the part of the plan, in my opinion anyway. This is something I've done over the last 10 years, coaching lifters. And I feel it's been the reason that Adonis Athletics has been able to create so many national level and international level lifters at very high level, and multiple record holders nationally and internationally. If you're not confident in your capabilities, there is nothing that you can do. But if you're confident in your capabilities, if you build momentum, nobody can stop you. Anyway, guys, that's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. This is Amir Fazeli from Adonis Athletics. You're listening to Bars, Plates, and Protein Shakes.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.